cow's the cow shit.
It smells like cow shit.
That's funny.
Right. We're not going to be able to get away
because come on, we have an amazing tough. We were shooting in Calgary, well, in a place that is called Opal, 2 hours from Calgary.
2 hours from
Calgary.
Calgary.
And we got a storm, a blizzard that was horrendous. And
that sounds good for the movie.
But it was a little bit earlier in time needed. So so we had a set, which is close to a river, the Bow River, and all the river was frozen and then began to melt, and the water began to get into the set, so basically flood the set.
Wow.
And we were at 27 degrees below zero. So, I mean, literally, when I get out of my hand to have a coffee, literally, so I'm not joking, 1 minute and a half or 2 minutes after, I couldn't move. I couldn't feel my fingers.
I know what that feels like.
The conditions were, and so we basically, the set were, basically we were seeing how the ice were melting. So it was the ice coming, water into the ice of the set already, that the snow was there. So none of that scene was planned to be like that. So it was nothing else. So we have to stop, and we went out of set. So we in a way are, we keep going, but we start to have some choices for what is coming next, which is going to be the toughest part, which is the winter.
Okay.
And that's why you're
doing it now, of course, because you want the winter.
Yes, exactly. There's a part that is full winter, so we will start when we return with the winter. And there's these things that are called the Chinooks, which are tropical hot winds that come from Vancouver and blend the snow in some low parts of Calgary. So we'll be chasing time or weather like that to be accommodating some scenes that we need a lot of snow and blizzards and tough conditions and not so many. So it's a very tricky thing to be, you know, be subordinated to the weather, but that's the film we are doing. So anyway, we are navigating in that kind of conditions, which is tough.
Are you shooting 185 or 235?
No, we are combining a lot of things. Oh, we'll see.
You going to alternate?
Yeah. We are doing a lot of things that.
Digital, of course. Nobody features.
No, and we are combining formats and
65
and 35.
65
pieces. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
To. Why? I mean, I love it.
Well, because I think there's nothing as what you get in 65. I think the amount of information and beauty that you get from that, when it's possible.
Yeah.
When it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible because the exposure is incredibly difficult and the size of the camera, depending on the shot. But when we can, we use it.
You know, I've suddenly in the last few weeks... it just lit up what a great period this is for Tom Hardy.
Yeah. I think he's great. Yeah. He's a very, you know, very nice guy, very talented guy. I have really liked working with him until now.
Has he got big-time whiskers like Leonardo, like everybody, like you?
Like what?
Does he have big-time whiskers for the show?
Well, everybody is getting horribly disgusting with bad breaths and long beards and... no, but it has been intense, but very good, very 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 enjoyable, guys. I think all the guys has been nice.
Yeah. So the winds seem to be blowing in Birdman's.
The what?
The winds.
I really appreciate all your support, and you know, I think I'm so thankful. I honestly do. I feel that all what this film has bring is just very nice things, and I'm surprised and thankful. It's the only thing that I can feel, honestly. I'm not saying this lightly, because it was a laboratory experimental shit that came, and I have never receive so many mails from people that I admire greatly, and with such a joyful kind of enthusiasm about the film, never in any film, by the way, and so that made me very proud and happy and thankful. Honestly, it's the best.
There isn't you talk to anybody who's in the industry, anybody who's Academy member, a journalist, and the the excitement is just as acute and just as strong as it was for me until you arrived. I mean, it's like there's nothing that is as electric and exciting as your film this year. And it's, what is it, made $20 million or something?
18 and a half, yeah.
What the fuck? I don't understand that at all. I mean, how many theaters is it out in? 400, 500?
Yeah.
So they haven't done the, they're going to wait for the big break.
I think so. I think Fox Searchlight, they are very good doing what they are doing, I have to say.
Yeah.
I have been a little bit away of all that, but I
but
think...
it's not even esoteric, though. That's what I'm saying. Your film is not the least bit, in my mind.
It's not what?
It's not esoteric.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's full of life.
I think so. I did it with that intention, you know what I mean? I think it's a... it's an unhappy comedy, in a way. No, but I agree. I think, but I think it's good that maybe for some people is more complicated that for us. You know, I think that's.
Is something primal about they want the comfort of regular cuts? Is that it? I'm trying. What is the blockage?
Okay.
Is it because they're used to? We're all used to cut, you know, rear shot, all that. But it's delightful what you guys did. I don't understand how people could possibly... infuriating. Anyway, so there's phase two. I hope that more people... I'm sure people will be seeing it all between now and February. So when are you going to be done? March, you said?
April.
Oh, because of the delays and everything. Right?
April. Yeah. Not delay. We just flip things and obviously... we always knew that it was March, April, so it's around there. But I think it's going to be mid-April, it's kind of around.
It's DiCaprio, it's Hardy, am I missing? Who's the other, is there another big part?
Those are the main characters.
Right.
There's Domhnall Gleeson, this English actor.
Right.
Will Poulter, this another kid that is very good, the actor is an English guy. Paul Anderson, and that's it. I mean, I think those are the main. And there's a couple of non-actors that will be surprising, Native American people that are really good, or I would say very strong. There's like two or three non-actors that it's fun to play with. You know, the great faces. It's you know.
You know, I was thinking out of guilt, I bought the book this morning, online. And I was thinking, this is so much easier. Now, I've become much more of a book reader in the last 2 years since I don't have to go to Book Soup anymore. I don't mean, I'm sorry for Book Soup, but that's how I buy my books.
Yeah.
Are you a book?
No.
You like to hold the books?
Yeah, I love, some of them I downloaded, obviously, in iTunes and iBooks, but I still enjoy a lot to go to. In Mexico, there is a couple of very beautiful still bookstores, which I really enjoy.
Right.
So I like the smell of it. I really like it.
Sure.
So I enjoy it. I enjoy still books.
Yeah. I still enjoy, when I'm in Europe anyway, newspapers, but I find them almost ecologically a bad idea.
I used to love newspapers, and now I can't bear it. I mean, now, for me to read newspapers is about the internet, because it allowed me to go to many places that the newspaper I found is so limited now.
Yeah.
And I'm sad. I mean, it's something that I feel sad, but this change happened in 1 year.
You've been in touch with our mutual friend, Mr. Mann, Michael Mann?
No, I haven't talked to him in a long time, like in 2 or 3 months. Well, yeah, I think it was the last time he recommended me one photographer, DP for still photographer, and that was the end of it. I think he's finishing his film, no? That's what I heard, that he's finishing, no?
But he showed it to Scott Foundas and some other folks.
You saw it?
No, I used to be on his bitch list, you know. I would get to see these things early, and I've been, I guess, taken off that list.
I didn't know about it.
But anyway, it's so lucky for him that it's a bad thing for Sony. But talk about timing, the Sony hack and his thing. You know what's going on with the Sony hack?
Yes, I heard. I haven't read a lot of things,
but
what I read and what I heard is.
I mean, this morning's thing, they actually threatened violence against theaters.
Against what?
The theaters themselves. They said, don't go to the theaters, bad things will happen.
Wow.
And they canceled the press tour as a result of that.
The press?
Rogan and Franco.
There was a press.
Stopped all their...
Wow. It's sad because they are winning. And I imagine maybe 18-year-old kids I don't know where, and maybe they are really having the time of their lives. You know what
it
I mean?
Could be 18-year-old kids.
They are.
I mean, do you think that this is a terrorist threat and that it's called themselves the war? Do you think this is serious? It seems like a Black Mirror episode. Have you seen that series? It's kind of that. I think the Black Mirror writer could have write what is happening. It's kind of pathetic, funny, hilarious. It's kind of a joke, I think. You know, I don't think there's a real threat. Somebody that really will do something will not be doing that for a long time. Somebody that really wants to harm, do it. I think they have been really manipulated and they have getting away with murder. And there's a participation of everybody here, I think.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I think that... it's all happening. I think that North Korea would not even think of sanctioning any kind of domestic terrorism here against theaters because it's the possibility of one person getting caught, then they would be able to sooner or later figure out the actual links between North Korea and the guys that they ostensibly hired, and then there would be terrible consequences for them.
Do you saw like 5 years ago kind of a false documentary of a guy in Telluride that went to North Korea?
A guy from Telluride?
In Telluride, Film Festival, like 4 or 5 years ago, I saw a film of a guy who went to North Korea.
Right.
It was a guy from Sweden film director.
Okay.
And the guy mislead the authorities and he begged that he was a fan of this guy. And for 1 year, he sent letters and finally he let him in. And he went in and really shoot in North Korea everything. They get him into the places, blah, blah, blah. But he was all the time making fun of them. And it was striking. I said, this guy really get away with it. I mean, it was really striking.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I didn't like about that exercise that was extremely courageous and funny, but at the same, is that at the end, the guy had an agenda that he used to convey that and portray North Korea as a bad place. And you see during his whole thing that they were very, very nice people and they were absolutely mind converted to this kind of, they were crying in the statue of these guys. It was very scary at the same to see that, but he was treated with great people and he never saw nothing good about it. And I saw a lot of things that he could have understand the dimension of the problem in a better way. At the end, the conclusion was a little bit already expected, but the exercise was incredible. You never saw it. It was really brave.
Okay.
Tom Lodi presented in Telluride. I really was shocked. And I thought about that. I said, that guy, maybe now he's dead. If this is true, then this guy is dead for sure. Anyway, but I have been thinking about that piece that never went out there. I will try to get the name and send it to you because I think you should see it now in the light of these events. I think this exercise of that guy is relevant, I think.
I was just thinking that the very first time I laid eyes on you, when I saw you, was at a party for Amores Perros in Hollywood. And I came up to you and I said that I had heard about you doing, was it a BMW commercial or something? I said, this is cool, you're doing commercials. And he said, and you heard about this how? But there was an amusement.
About what?
You asked me, where did you hear about this? How do you know this? I said to myself when I saw you, I said, this guy has amusement. He's amused. He likes the action. I can feel his energy. And there's not the least anything slightly downish or melancholy in your personality.
Uh-huh.
And yet, for three films, you were the down guy, the tragic guy, the morose, not morose, but, mournful,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So why did it take four films for the guy that I know you are to pop out with amusement and mirth and smirk and all those?
Well, I think you know me. You know a slice of my life and a little bit of what I can be. I think I'm a complex universe, as you are. You know what I mean? I think we are extremely multidimensional, complex creatures. And I can be extremely extreme dark and extremely down and extremely, you know, so I have a complex reality that I embrace, and through those, in a way, melancholic, nostalgic, dark, unhopeful, or I would say things that in a way affect me emotionally, worry me, I'm sensitive to underline my deep self really are present most of the time. I have to navigate through them. I don't quit. I don't surrender. And I appreciate a lot of things, and I try to attach to that as much as possible. But there's an underlying, you know, negative dark current that, in a way, balance all the time. I'm fighting back all the time. And I think in this one, Birdman, I think it just I love this film particularly because it bring me the possibility to not change nothing about what really our reality is, but to reconcile with it through a new approach, to see it upside down, to lighten off in the approach, not in the fact. The facts are facts. Is the way we think about it. This is how we think about them, because things are like they are, and it's just the way we think. So I think I learned that in this case. And that's why I think this film, more than anything, I think is pathetically funny, because it's an observation of our own pathetically lovability. We are lovely, pathetic creatures. That's what we are, and I'm convinced about that. And that's why I think make humans so incredible, empathic. You know, I love that. That's why the superheroes and all those characters are absolutely clean. I just vomited, because I have never met the people like that.
Is there extras? Anything that was choice that I'm sure there was that might be in the Blu-ray? Some extra scenes that just couldn't fit the hole that you liked?
No, Jeffrey. There, everything that is there, it was basically what it is. I think I told you that I changed the ending, and the ending was absolutely different.
Right.
But that I never shoot. I realized in the middle of the film. But everything that I shoot,
the critic getting shot, right? That's
the
one version.
Critic
anyway.
Getting shot.
The New York Times critic.
Yeah, there was a version where he basically shot. You know, and it was suddenly, and but then there was an epilogue that it was not good. It was not fair for anybody, not for the character, not for the story, not for the audience. Mm. And I got in panic and I rewrote it. But no, everything that I shot, it's absolutely there. There's no extra thing. I think in the extras, you know, it's funny. One of the assistants was during the whole rehearsals. Since the standings in the empty room, it's funny because I was thinking that I can do four Birdmans: the one that I shot with standings, the ones that I shot with the actors in the empty stages, the one that I shot it in the stages with the actors, and the last one. You can see the evolution, and it's, I will say, in terms of filmmaking, it's very interesting, the process of it, you know, how things were getting to where we arrive, you know. that was interesting. Not the technical aspect, because I always think that the technical aspect that has been so attentive about that, it's not as important or as cool as, I will say, that the technical tools that we use were basically just an extension. Mm. Of the emotional state of this guy. Mm. And to get that, it was about how those tools were very simply used, not really high-tech at all.
Just to clarify again, the sequence of shooting was New York was first and then to Los Angeles?
No, Los Angeles, empty storage, standings, tape, curtains. Right. Then actors start to with them, start rehearsing the words, the pace, the steps. Then design the stage in now with that measures, with that agreements. Then New York build that, and then start rehearsing with the real things and with the real things how it works, and then adapt, adjust, sign on, and then shoot. So it was like, you know, to be playing live with as a band, and then we were. Learn how the people react with that, or we know how the bass, or and then say, okay, go to the studio and shoot it. And so it was like Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. That's the way they did it, and that's why it sounds so good, because they learned through screwing the whole thing many times, and until now they are ready, then they just record what it has to be recorded.